the Lord that we've been able to be here in this meeting. We've received a lot of good ourselves. Thank the Lord for the message the other morning. It just seemed like it was just what I needed, and I really appreciate the Lord ministering to us like that. You know, I want to speak a few words to us this morning. The Lord's been talking to me this morning. Just want to share that with us. I don't have any rocket science to share this morning. But I do have something that might be about as hard as rocket science sometimes to share. In Nehemiah 7 and 2, I want to just read a scripture. It says that I gave my brother Hanani and Hananiah, the ruler of the palace, charge over Jerusalem, for he was a faithful man and feared God above many. You know, this testimony that Nehemiah gave of his brother, I guess it was here, that he was a faithful man and feared God above many. I just want to leave us with a little challenge from the Word this morning. You know, it's not rocket science to be faithful, but sometimes we stand at the peril of our life, don't we? So it's not always easy, but it yields great dividends. And I just want to challenge our men and our women and our children this morning. Be a man like this. The word virtue means manliness. It means valor. It's to the women and the men. This morning, I just want to challenge us. Let's don't be weaklings in the Lord. Let's be men and women of faith, faithful that God can count on. Here, Nehemiah needed some work done. He needed somebody to watch over the city. He needed somebody to take charge over Jerusalem. It was a very turbulent time. It was not an easy place. But he said, this man here, he says he was a faithful man and feared God above many. You know, this morning, the Lord wants us to be faithful. It's not something we can't attain. It's not something way out there that we can't imagine, something somebody, some superhero somewhere. Surely there's a man. The Lord don't have any men like that. He's the superhero. He wants your life so He can work through it. He wants us to be faithful so He can work through it. He chose a lot of people that were nobodies in the Bible. David was one of them. He chose a lot of folks back there. They weren't anybody except one thing. They were faithful. And God worked through those kind of people. This morning, you know who the saints are? They're faithful people. You know who a man of God is? You know who a godly father is? You know who someone that can be respected and admired is? A godly, faithful man. Somebody that can be counted on. Somebody that is not just a profession, but they dig deep until they dig through their problems. They find the grace of God in their life. This man here, it says he was a faithful man and feared God above many. You know, there's a lot of people that make a statement in the world today, but there's not too many that really fear God. That really in their heart and their life, they serve God faithfully. Day in and day out, when they're watched and when they're not. When it's to their benefit and when it's not. Those kind of men and women are called faithful. It's what God's people are made out of. And I want to look at some things this morning. It's what God chooses from. When He needs something done, He's looking for somebody that's faithful. He's not looking for a superhero or a super brilliant person. He's looking for somebody that's faithful this morning. How about our life today? Let's look at some challenges here from the Word of God. and ask the Lord, Lord, I want to be one of those kind of people. You know, I've found that people in their minds many times, they get a picture of who they want to be or what they want to be or something guides them. They want certain things in life. Maybe at the end of the way, they want a lot of fine things. They want everything particularly well took care of in their life. They want to be settled and secure and all of the, and they work their life for that. They do. I want to challenge us this morning. There's something more valuable than that. And that is that we be a faithful person.
Yes.
This morning, set your sights a little higher. Set your sights, and I know many of us here do, and I thank God to know a people like that. But I just want to leave us with this little challenge. Set your sights a little higher than what this world has to offer. Set it on, I want to be faithful. Whether it's to my advantage or not, I want to be faithful this morning. I looked up that word there in the Hebrew and listened to some of the things that it says about it. Stability. Figuratively, certainty. Truth. Trustworthiness. Faithful. Sure. True. Truly. Verity. And if you look where that word is used in many other places in the Old Testament, many places it's used, and it's used for truth. It's used for true. That's what the word means. And you find it all through the Old Testament. I want to look a little bit at Abraham's life. And we look at him and we see him as the father of faith. And God has given honor to Abraham, to the way he walked. But you know, I want to think about Abraham a little bit this morning. What did he do? What great thing did Abraham do? Did he call fire out of heaven on something? Elijah did that, but Abraham never did that. What great work can you ascribe to Abraham? What mountain did he pull down? What city did he build? You know what he did? He obeyed God. That's what Abraham did. And that's what he has ascribed, that's what God has ascribed to him. He believed God and he obeyed him. You know, this morning, the Lord is just looking for folks like that. He's looking for you and me to set our sights on something higher than what this world has to offer. Something that we determine. I want to be a faithful man. When the end comes, I want the Lord to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I want to hear those words. And so we set our life that way. Young men, I urge you, fight through the battles of life. There are many. There's a lot of obstacles in life. I want to tell you something. I've got my eyes on something beyond this life. One of these days I'm going to lay down this mantle and I hope to hear Him say, "Well done." I hope to see the Lord. I hope to see His heaven. I hope to hear the angels sing. I hope to hear... I love the songs in camp meetings. Don't we? We relish that all year long. As soon as Monarch's done, I'm relishing the next Monarch. I can't wait to hear the singing. I can't wait to get back there. You know what? One of these days, folks, if we're faithful, we'll hear the heavens ringing with the songs of praise and the songs of deliverance, the things God has done. I want to think a little about Abraham before I read about him. You know, Abraham was a man just like us. He was just like we are. I don't believe he was anything we aren't. He was a man. And you know, God called him and he said, "Abraham, up, get you out of this place." Has the Lord put his hand on your life in any way? Up, get out of this place. Get saved. I want you to live for me. You heard his voice? Abraham heard his voice. He believed God. And he got up and he left. And he went to a place he didn't know where he was going. Where's this going to take me? I don't know. But he went there, didn't he? You know, this morning, Abraham was just like we are. When he came to a place and he knew he was right in the center of God's will. God told him to go and God sustained him.
Yes.
And yet, he come up to one of these kings and, who's this? This is my sister. You think he didn't experience fear? Sure he did. Well, that was part of the truth. Not quite all of it, but it was part of it. She's my sister. He did that twice. Abraham was a man like we are, but I want to tell you something. Abraham wanted to serve God. And he set his life to serve God. And he was faithful to the Lord through his life. When the Lord called him to put his son on the altar, and he said, Abraham, I want you to go and offer Isaac up as a sacrifice. You know what Abraham did? He knew it was God's voice. There wasn't any question there. So he just got up, and it sounds like the very next morning he got up, he saddled his ass, it says, and he took off. And he went to sacrifice his son. Abraham obeyed God. He was a faithful man. I want to look at Genesis 18 and 1 and read a little bit more about Abraham here for about 8 verses maybe. It says, and the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and as he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day, and he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, 3 men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door, and bowed himself to the ground, and said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. It doesn't sound to me like Abraham had any idea who this was. Here was 3 men. We're finding out a little bit about Abraham, who he was. Abraham saw these 3 men. He goes, he didn't go and say, I'm Abraham. God called me. He bowed himself to the ground. Men, thank God you're here. Why don't you take your shoes off? Feet washing started way back there, didn't it? I don't know that he washed their feet, but I'll tell you, he was that generous from the start. This was Abraham's way. It was his life. He said, I pray you, don't run away. Hold on here. Take your shoes off. I pray you, let a little water, I pray you, be fetched and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on. For therefore are ye come to your servant. Abraham viewed himself as a servant, didn't he? That's all he was. That's all I ever hope to be, is a servant. You know, saints, let's be faithful servants.
Amen.
We have a mission in life. People are our mission. Abraham didn't know these men, but he was a servant. He viewed himself as a servant. He bowed down as a servant. Let me serve you guys here. And it says, and they said, so do, as thou hast said. And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah and said, make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal. Knead it and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran unto the herd and fetched a calf, tender and good, and gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. Isn't that a beautiful picture? Here's a godly man. Men, women, I just want to challenge you. There's something deeper than all about ourselves. There's something better in life, more satisfying, something that blesses you more than it being all about us. You know, Abraham saw this and he took the situation and he became one there that was a servant. He became one there that, what's the word? It's slipping from me. When you minister to other people, you're hospitable. He was a hospitable man. You can see it. You know, when Lot when Lot come along, who was Lot? Abraham's nephew. Is that not right? Abraham's nephew. And God had promised Abraham all this land. And Abraham brought Lot with him. And then he said, finally, it got too much for all of them in one place. He said, Lot, if you go to the left, I'll go to the right. You go to the right, I'll go to the left. Take your pick. That was Abraham's way. He could have said, I'm Abraham. God called me. He promised me this land of my posterity. And Lot, I'll tell you what, you go down over yonder and have a little grass for your animals. You know, Abraham, this is a challenge to me. I look at that and I think, wow. He gave him the best of what he had. And he gave him his choice. And Lot chose the best. Didn't he? It didn't turn out to be the greatest blessing to him. You know, this morning, I want us to think a little bit about what happened here at this place where Abraham did this lowly deed. You know, that was the Lord. And he began to speak to Abraham. He said, you're going to have a son. I will tell you, a lot of times in the lowliest places, the Lord starts speaking, doesn't He? He blesses our life in some of the greatest ways from just our humble service to Him. You know, the Scripture says, be not forgetful to entertain strangers. For thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Abraham was one of those folks also. You know, he entertained those three and he didn't know who they were. You know what? But he wasn't doing it because he knew who they were either. He was just a faithful man. That's who he was. You know what? This morning, let's set our sights a little higher. I want to be this kind of man. Abraham challenges me. For him to give the best to his nephew for no reason, he just gave him the best. That challenges me. That's a challenge. Folks, this morning, God wants to develop within His people beautiful characteristics that He Himself can speak for, that He Himself can look at. You know, these things, they take time sometimes. They take devotion. You know, the Lord began to talk to Abraham. Sarah laughed, didn't she? I'm going to have a child. I'm 90, what was she, 99, 90? She was getting up there closer to 100. And she laughed. I want to read on down in that same chapter. The Lord didn't stop His blessing to Abraham here. In the 18th verse, or the 19th verse, we'll start in 17. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? You know what? The Lord cares about us. When we come into this kind of a relationship with the Lord, He thinks about us. He thinks about how we think. He said, I'm going down here to destroy Sodom. Shall I hide from Abraham that thing? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, I'm going to bless him. And all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him, for I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him. And they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which He has spoken of him. Amen. Do you hear those words? The Lord said, I know Abraham. He'll command his children after him. Now, when Abraham took Isaac up, Isaac, according to Josephus, was around 25 years old. So somewhere in that, Abraham was 125. Do you think that Abraham grabbed Isaac from behind, threw him down like he would have had to do an animal, and throw him down and bound him? I don't believe that happened that way. Isaac willingly offered himself. You know why? Because he was commanded by the respect that he had for Abraham's walk with God. He was commanded by the honor that he saw He saw something in his father that he knew was God. And he respected that. And he commanded his children, generations after him. You know what they referred back to? Our fathers, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. They knew God. You know what? They were men of God. They had faith in God. They walked with God. They pleased God. And the Lord talked to them. You know what? Abraham had influence upon the generations to come. And the Lord said, I know him. I know him. That he will command his children after him. The Lord wants. Could he have commanded Isaac to get on there? I doubt it. Not him being 25 and Abraham 125. Could he have commanded Jacob and his sons many years after him? No. He wasn't there. But he left them something. This morning, let's leave something. Let's put this kind of life into our lives. Young folks, get you a beacon to follow. Look after these kind of people. Put a beacon in your life. I want to be one of those kind of men. I've seen some of the saints, and I've seen their lives. I want to be one of them. I've seen people like Brother Austis. You know, I want to be like that. I want to be a man. He wasn't very big. He wasn't very showy. But I'll tell you what, he was a faithful man of God. And the Lord spoke to him through him. I listen to his messages now and thank God for them. I see that. You know, I think about his humble beginnings. I heard that they didn't think he was called to preach when he started out. You missed your calling. That's how great he was. But God worked in his life, didn't he? Because he was a faithful man. He gave himself to the Lord. The Lord came along and called him. The Lord came along and began to work in his life. This morning, let's follow some of those whose faith follow. You know, I was thinking about the scripture in Psalms 37 and 37. We all know it. Mark the perfect man and behold the upright. Why? The end. The end of that man is peace. I want that kind of end. You know what? This morning I just want to challenge us. Mark the perfect man. Behold the upright. Take him into your view. Watch what how he's living. Read these old stories. You know, they weren't great men. They weren't these men of some kind of stature. Gideon went down and whipped the whole army with 300 men. Who was Gideon? He had to keep asking the Lord. Lord, I know you showed me. Lord, I know what you gave me, but can you just do it backwards this time? So I know it was you. Can you just make the dew different this time? Make the ground all wet and not the, you know. And you know what? Gideon went down there and the Lord said, you've got too many people. It's going to get ascribed to the strength of Israel. Or how, I don't remember the words he said. I don't want that. I want you to separate them out. Tell all of them that are fearful to go home. And then you still got way. You got too many, Gideon. Let's go down by the water. Gideon landed up with 300 men. Now, how is Gideon? So Gideon was still afraid. Lord, I know you've been talking to me. I know you've told me all these things. I know you've given me several witnesses here. But please help me. You know what? These are men that went before us.
Yes.
He sought God.
Yes.
He knew that was his only hope.
Yes.
It was the Lord that worked there, and he knew it. And the Lord knew his weakness. He said, tell you what, if you're still afraid, go down by their tents.
That's right.
Listen to what they say. He went down there, and what was it? A loaf of barley loaf come tumbling down, and the tents went everywhere, or something like that. You know, Gideon knew then, this is God. You know what? God wants to work in your life and mine. I'm convinced way more than we think He does. When I hear people say I can't, I just can't hardly believe the word. I can't. I knew I couldn't a long time ago. You know what? I know you can't. Do we not have faith and confidence in God? Let's be one of these that we're following. They believed God. It wasn't going to be them. It was going to be God. Samson went down, and along the way, a lion comes and attacks him. And what did he do? He just rent him as a kid, I believe it says. You know, Samson went on. He didn't even tell that when he went on. It was probably sacred to him. God came upon him and he knew it. It was something different. The Lord worked through him. You know what, today, if we'll give ourselves to God, I want to tell you something. God will work in your life more than you ever dreamed. I believe that. I believe in the smallest, most insignificant person that we feel we are, God will work in our life more than we ever dreamed He would. If we will not say, I can't, or I won't. And a lot of people say that. I wonder how many Abrahams have been called. How many people were called? The Lord called Saul before He called David. And He told him when Saul refused to obey God, He said, Then would the Lord have established your throne forever. Saul was in line for that. Not David, Saul was. I wonder how many people God has called. How many of us here has He called? Get up and go. Amen. Hear Him when He says, get saved, get saved. Amen. When He says, I want this, put it on the altar. Amen. When He says, I want your best, give Him your best. Amen. When He says, I want your time, give Him your time. Amen. Don't ever say, I can't or I won't, if it's the Lord speaking. Amen. Give it to the Lord. We're following men like that. In Proverbs 28 and 20, it says, a faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. You know, this morning, I just want to say a few words about faithful men. They abound with blessings. I want to say that again. Faithful men abound with blessings. Faithful women abound with blessings. Do they have all the, of life's things? Maybe not. Maybe they don't have very much of it, but I'll tell you what they do have. They can be full of the Holy Ghost. Yes. They can be full of fire. They can be full of faith and confidence, yes, in God. Let the hardest thing come and they can stand. They can do that. I want to encourage us this morning to be faithful to the Lord, full of grace. A faithful man abounding with grace, respect, and honor. Full of peace. That's the blessings of life. There's a lot of rich people that if they knew they could have it, I believe they'd cash it in for it. I believe there's people that would if they could really believe, I can have that kind of peace in life. You know what? God wants to give some of those things to us. And He gives them to faithful men. Not supermen, faithful men. Yes. Men that die to themselves. Men that when they find themselves in error, they repent. Yes. They say, Lord, I want to do it your way. I realize that's not really right. And you've let me know that. I'm going to change my way. I'm going to humble myself. In Proverbs 25 and 19, another scripture. Listen to what the wise man said. Here he... Confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. How many here has ever had a broken tooth or a foot out of joint? Probably a lot of us. I want to tell you something, it's pretty tough. You try to put some weight on it, you just go to the ground. You put weight on, you try to chew on a tooth that's broken or something like that, or all out of needing to be pulled or something, no go. Nothing happens. Confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like that, the Bible says. In Acts 6 and 3, it says, "Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business." We all know that little story. The disciples, it says, was multiplied. And there was a little problem there. Some of the widows weren't getting taken care of like they needed. And others were. And so it was causing some dissension. And you know, the apostles knew we can't do everything. So they started looking for somebody to take care of the money. Somebody to take care of the stuff. Somebody to make sure people were taken care of. Their needs, their visiting, all of those things. And you know what they said? They said, "Choose out, wherefore, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom." Were these superheroes? They were men like you and me, but they kept their name clear.
Yes.
They were men that lived right. Yes. They were men that lived to God, full of the Holy Ghost and full of wisdom. God had imparted to them some things. It wasn't them. I want to look over in Titus 1 and 5 and read some of the qualifications here. Now, this is what I believe the Holy Spirit looks for when He's looking for somebody to put responsibility on. Folks, we need people to take responsibility.
Right.
We need that. We need you to take responsibility. But not everybody can. Not everybody's qualified to. And so, Paul, I believe through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit here, tells us what the Lord was looking for. He says, "For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city, as I had appointed thee, if any be blameless." Now, I want to look at some of these qualifications. We're talking about faithful men. What does blameless mean? Unaccused. Irreproachable. Why? Because there isn't anything they've done bad. Since they've been saved, they've been walking right. They haven't muddied their name. You know, this morning, I know the Lord can forgive us, and I trust He does. If everyone that would fail of the grace of God, I'm not trying to down anybody, but I want to challenge you this morning. From this point on, be this kind of person.
Yes.
It says blameless. That means unreproachable. There isn't anything you could fasten on their name. There isn't anything there to fasten. If everybody said everything they knew, there isn't anything there that can cause blame on the gospel and on the name of Christ. The husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. For a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God. I know we're talking about qualifications for a minister here, but I will tell you also, it's not only a minister that needs to be blameless. These aren't supermen this is talking about. These are just men that have been faithful. Be one of these kind of people. Because God's looking to work in your life. You want to be blessed in your life? You want God to talk to you regularly? I want to tell you, you get to be walking with the Lord in His work, and you're constantly doing what He's needing done. He's going to be talking to you all the time. He has to. Because He has to give you direction. We want that kind of blessing in our life. We can have it. I believe that. Walk this way. Be a faithful man. So when the Lord starts looking around, hey, I need something over here. I need somebody to take this place of responsibility. You know what He's looking for? He's not looking for your qualifications, folks. He's looking, in the flesh. He's looking for faithful men. He can take the one talent we've got and double it. He can take the five and make them ten. The Lord will help us to use it and do that with it. It says, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. For a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God. He says it again. Not self-willed. What's self-willed? What is that? Is that something that only supermen are? It's something faithful men are. They're not self-willed. They give up their will. Become one of these kind of persons. Let God develop this into our life in a rich way. Not soon angry. Is that for somebody we don't know? That's for us, isn't it? Dig deep. Dig. Yes. Dig for these things. Yes. Set some sights up there. Set you some guiding beacons. Lord, I want to be this kind of man. I don't want to be soon angry. Lord, I want to be a gentleman. I want to be somebody that You can afford to put Your grace on, and I won't embarrass You.
Yes.
Not given to wine. Is that too much? Not given to wine? I don't think so. I'm glad our minister. I would be real disappointed if I saw any of them drunk. I would. No striker. You know what that word striker? A smiter. That is pugnacious, quarrelsome. Is that too much to ask of a faithful man? I don't think so. Be one of these kind of people. If we're quarrelsome, let's dig a little deeper. Let's get down on our knees of humility and admit to God and those we're quarrelsome with, hey, you pray for me. I got some needs. I need to go somewhere. The Lord needs some people like that. Oh, young men, young women, settle it in your hearts. This is where I'm going. It may cost me that I may not be able to work that third shift or whatever and go make all of that extra, because I'm going to seek God. I'm going to get some things took care of. I'm going to live a little more modest then if I have to. I may not be able to have everything I want. But you know what? I believe God honors that. We're following men like this, folks. Not given to filthy lucre. Is that asking too much? That a man not be greedy and covetous? That a man just do God's will? Lord, if You give me much or if You give me little, I'm going to do exactly what I believe You want me to do with it. I want to know what You want me to do with it. And I don't want to be afraid to ask that question. Because that's people, isn't it? That's us. You ever had fear? If I ask the Lord, He's liable to want it. Give it to God. Give it to the Lord. He'll give you back more than you think He will. But a lover of hospitality. What's hospitality? What Abraham was doing. He was entertaining people. I remember when we first got married, my wife is a people person. I wasn't. She loved to have people over, and I didn't care for that very much. I liked a friend. But you know what I've learned? I've had to learn to crucify myself. Okay, we have people over every Sunday now. Every Sunday. I'm not boasting in that. But folks, we can overcome who we are. We can overcome our selfish disposition. We can begin to open up. Open up to people. Become this way. And you know what I've found? I've found unbelievable enjoyment in that and happiness and relationships, and people love you. You begin to minister to people. You really minister. I don't mean Lord over, but you begin to really serve people. They love you. They sure do. I mean, many people will. Sure, you'll be hurt. I've been hurt. I've been stabbed in the back when I did a good deed. But you know what? Not very many times. Most of the time, people love you. Be this kind of man. Be this kind of woman. Develop these things in us. If we're selfish, look at ourselves squarely. Don't say the lie. That's just who I am and I can't be any different. That's not true. Say it like it is.
Yes.
That's who I am. And Lord, I want You to change me. And I'm willing to pay the price to be changed. A lover of hospitality, a lover of good men. Sober. Is it too much to ask to be a lover of good men? I don't think so. Not have evil acquaintances, young people. Who you run with? Run with folks as far as your bosom buddies. Run with people that are going to challenge your life with the Lord. Help them out. Sure, you reach out to others. You include them in your circle. But those bosom buddies, those fellows you like to spend time with, chatting and all that, make them good. Make them, this is where I want to go. So I want to surround myself in a way that will help me get there and not hinder me. A lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, temperate. I don't want to take too long here on all these things. We can study them later. Is it too much to ask that a man be sober, that a man be temperate? Is that too much to ask? I don't think so. This is all the Lord was looking for. What we just talked about. A faithful man. This morning I just want to challenge us. Lord, teach us Your ways. Proverbs says, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man, who can find? And that's in Proverbs 20 and 6 and 7. It goes on to say, the just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. I want to tell you something. If you are a faithful man, you will find, or woman, you will find some things blessing. Blessing upon blessing. Blessing upon blessing. I believe that. Do we face hard things? We face the same hard things everyone else does. But I want to tell you something. I've got a friend that walks with me. And he helps me. He helps me bear my burdens. He's got quite a few folks here on the earth that helps me too. And I thank the Lord for that. You know, this morning, we think about the three Hebrew children, the three Hebrew men. That's what they were. They were called children because they were children of Israel. They were men. They were cast into the fire. What were they great? I don't view them as great men. They were faithful men. When the king said, I'm going to throw you in there, and he was very angry, and his disposition was changed. You know what they said? We're not careful to answer you, king. Done got our minds made up. We're going to go God's way. He said not to bow down to an idol, and we're not bowing down to it. We're not trying to be disrespectful, king. I know I'm kind of paraphrasing here and putting my own words in. You know what? We're not trying to be. But we're going to be faithful to God. This morning, there's a lot of people. There's Daniel. There's a lot of others. These men were not men that were somewhere unreachable. Men and women, boys and girls, set your sights on something more than this world has to offer. If you've got your sights set on this world, if that's what your world revolves around, you're setting too low and you're getting too little. A lot, way too little for what you could be getting. I want to quote one more place in Job. Job was a man that the Lord spoke for him. And he said, hast thou considered, to Satan, he said, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in all the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Was Job some superhero? Tell you what I believe Job was. Job was a man that carefully sought God and followed Him all the way. He wanted to serve God. He feared God above many. He feared God in a different way than a casual person would have feared God. He offered sacrifices for his sons just in case they had done wrong in their heart and cursed God. You know what? Job served God faithfully. He did his business, and he himself testified. Has the poor ever come, had to sleep in the street? Has those that hadn't had food, have I turned them away? Job knew his life. Was he a superman? He was just a man that did what he knew to do was right. When the men come along, when the poor came along, he stretched out his hand to them. When God spoke, he listened. When God afflicted him, he said, Lord, blessed be your name. You've given, and now you've taken away. And Job didn't know the rest of the story. He didn't know anything of it. He was just a faithful man.
Yes, amen.
But the end of Job is, that God blessed him more in his end than in his beginning. And I want to encourage us today, I believe that. I personally believe that. I believe it strong enough that I've set my life that way. I've been living that way. By the grace and help of God, I fear God. I want to serve Him. I don't know what's going to happen in the world. I don't know what's going to happen to preachers that preach the truth. I don't regard that a whole lot. I believe the same God that kept Paul and that kept all those faithful men, He'll keep me too. He'll keep you too if you'll serve Him faithfully.